Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. With me this week is my dad. Hey, Dad. How you doing?
That was good, man. So they're getting ready for this Football Life Tomlinson. I tell you, it's a great series.
The which one?
A Football Life.
Oh, the Football Life on NFL Network.
Yeah. Fantastic. They're going to have a Tomlinson now.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. LT, the new LT, not the old one.
The good guy. The good LT.
Yeah, the good LT. That's a good point.
Yeah, not the felon.
I know. Well, the regular season starts this week on Thursday.
Oh, how sweet is that?
Yeah, that's going to be nice. And it's weird because it's usually in the Super Bowl champion's home stadium, but there was an issue with the Orioles playing on the same night in Camden
right.
Yards. And the NFL wanted them to switch so they would play, I think, in Chicago as opposed to Baltimore. Because there's one parking lot for basically both stadiums, and they can't hold them both at the same time. But the Orioles won out, so now Baltimore's got to go into the road to Denver.
Yeah, there's a controversy there, too, because a lot of posters were put up Flacco.
Yeah, because
a lot of Denver fans aren't happy about that.
No, I mean, if the Jets and the Patriots were playing on the opening night, and it was in the new Meadowlands Stadium, MetLife Stadium,
right.
And there were Brady photos all over the place. I know I wouldn't like it. Imagine if Tony Romo, you know, same thing. If the Giants and the Cowboys, Tony Romo's
right.
all over the place.
Right.
So I can't.
Well, you got that, and then you got another story within a story is Somerville, the Ravens coming back.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the big mistake with the signing and the deadline of the paperwork and how that actually happened. I mean, he was all set to sign with Denver in the last minute, signed with the Ravens.
Yeah, I know. Which...
So losing him and that, who's the other guy that's hurt? That's half their sack total from last year.
That's going to be tough. I mean, they're good on defense, but their stalwart is the offense with Manning and his many, many weapons.
Well, yeah, that's always the hype, right? I mean, yeah, I mean, look what they're doing. They're featuring him on... Thursday night, and then they're featuring Eli on Sunday night.
Yeah, against the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Well, you know, in this time of the NFL, it's all about the Mannings because
that's right. Ad nauseum.
Well, yeah, but they don't let the success get to their head. I mean, you never see them portrayed in a negative light when it's very easy for many an NFL player to be put in such a negative position.
Well, yeah, it only makes sense from a corporate. You know, point of view. You sweep the dirt under the rug, and then you know, it's like you got Hernandez indicted for murder, and they get Tebow in there just to use him as a smiley face. You know, that we deal with the good guys. Meanwhile, they you know, hide the dirt under the rug.
Yeah, very true. It's a good point.
Yeah. Well, it's the only game in town, 3,800-pound gorilla.
Yeah. There have been many attempts to overthrow or step into the world of professional football, but none have succeeded as well as the NFL itself.
True.
Yeah. So, with this week's games, which games are you most interested in watching?
Well, I'm really liking the Packers and the 49ers.
It's a rematch of the playoffs last year.
Well, that too, and also... there, some people have them favored to win, to go to the Super Bowl for the NFC.
The Packers?
Yeah, the Packers. Well, the 49ers for
well,
sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe the Packers. And also I'm liking to take a look at the Falcons and the Saints. Saints are hungry. Peyton's back.
It's a great divisional rivalry, especially with the last couple of years.
Yeah, and the Falcons have a lot of tools.
Very much.
A lot of offense. They got Steven Jackson. They got Roddy White. They got Gonzalez. You got all kinds of action.
Julio Jones. Yeah, that's a very good defense, too. Very good defense.
Right, and the Saints are hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And they're aggressive.
Yeah.
And there's something to be said there.
Yeah, that's very true. Those are some good. I'm interested in the first game, the Thursday night game, to see how Welker meshes with Peyton and his offense. Because he's coming from an up-tempo offense to begin with. And you know that with the Patriots, and you know the Broncos aren't necessarily going to slow it down much either.
Well, I mean, Welker's a guy that'll move the sticks for you, right?
Yeah.
So that's more of a possession receiver, precise routes. You know, dependable, et cetera. But that's exciting, that game. And what's interesting is that you have a Super Bowl winning team the year before that's now a big underdog.
Well,
usually they're favored, like you said, usually they're home.
Mm-hmm.
So now, and since 05, I think they're covering the spread that's against the spread, ATS. They're 6-2.
Right.
So, and it kind of makes the Ravens a bet there.
Yeah, well, Denver is giving 7 at home. So
yeah, that line started at 10, went 9.5, went 8.5.
Yeah, I think there was. I think
down, which tells you the money's going on the Ravens.
Yeah, there's a lot of respect is given back to the defending Super Bowl champions. Well,
and you know that the Ravens are an emotional team, right, on defense, and it's Denverville, I think, is a great story within us in the game.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's one of the highlights they're going to hit upon on Thursday.
You know, when you used to play for a team, you want to make them look like they made a mistake by getting rid of you.
Yeah, and it is unfortunate that did happen for them, because I know they definitely wanted him to stick around, but can't always get what you want, I suppose.
No. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
That's, you know, but for the league, it's good. Spread the talent out there.
That is.
And they lost a lot of talent on defense, so, you know, Ed Reed gone, that's a huge.
Yeah, Ray Lewis, if not more so for his leadership abilities and all that stuff. Well, what are the games would you recommend to our fiscally adventurous listeners out there?
Well, you got to take a look at the Colt game in Colts. That defense in fantasy is rated up there in the top 3, I think.
Yeah, it's very high. It's a good defense.
Right. And you got a really anemic and error-prone Raiders team, which there's, so I hate to use the word purposely tanking, but there's reason to believe that the Raiders aren't really going to do much this year and really are looking for one of those top college picks.
Yeah, I mean, that's a team and that's a franchise that's trying to get out of its way, but it keeps falling over.
Yeah, but by using prior, that tells me that you want to, you know, you expect plays to break down and you want to use this guy's leg.
Yeah.
So, who was it? Flynn was the other?
Yeah, Flynn, that they traded for from Seattle.
Yeah, but he's a dropback quarterback, and, you know, I don't think they have the protection for a quarterback like that. So using this guy prior gives him the best chance. But
yeah,
he's not accurate. He doesn't read defense as well.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a roll your own type of guy.
Yeah. And with luck, you know, starting his sophomore season, he wants to start off on the right foot at home. So I think, yeah, because that line right now, it's 9.5. Indianapolis giving 9.5.
Yeah, it's a mismatch. Of course, you don't like to spot that kind of wood, you know, in any professional football game. But coming out of the blocks, I can't see the Raiders on the road really doing much.
No.
I don't think they can score much, and I think they could give up a ton.
I would agree with that, so that's a good one. Any other games?
Well, I mean, it's from a betting aspect, the most competitive one would be the Pick'em game, because nobody's getting points there, and that would be the Dolphins at Browns.
Mm-hmm.
That's a Pick'em. Of course, nobody's interested in the Browns.
No.
And, but from a betting aspect, they use this thing called the Bruner theory from a guy who used to know Bruner. and this is the home team getting Pick'em up to 2.5.
Right.
Home, but it really only kicks in, this Bruner theory, after week 8, so halfway through the season. So this would be what would be a reverse Bruner. So you really have to say the Dolphins would be the pick there.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're the stronger offensively of the two.
I
don't know. I mean, Tannehill and Whedon, you know, they're kind of a toss-up. I like to think that maybe the wide receivers for Miami is a little bit stronger than Cleveland with the newly acquired Mike Wallace and with Brian Hartline, who had 1,000 yards receiving last season. So I think that might aid and help them win this week.
Well, that's what I'm thinking of, too. Plus, don't the Browns have a new coach?
Yeah, Chudzinski, or as Kauk, as you like to call him.
Right, he's filling in a gap. So the game, I mean, that's not a sexy matchup. That's kind of a game that you bet on and you look at the ticker and you watch another game. The only thing that interests me is Buffalo. Unfortunately, their quarterback situation is unsettled. There's an old adage, if you have four quarterbacks, you probably don't have any.
Yeah.
So that's a problem in Buffalo. But New England's unsettled. A lot of offensive weapons are gone. They got the controversy over the indictment for the murder with Hernandez, taking that on the road. It's tough to win in that stadium in general in Buffalo. They do have a lot of offensive weapons, and they got a running back Spiller that can keep defenses legit. They've got some really burner speed guys on receiver, special teams, and they're working on new 3-4 defense with the new coach, the Syracuse head coach. So there's a lot to like there. And that line is high. That line's like 9.5.
Yeah, I have 9.5. So Buffalo is a 9.5 home underdog. I mean, that's no respect. That's none.
And the Patriots are pretty much what they call a public team. So that line realistically should probably be 6.5, 7. So, it's an overlay on that point. So I'd kind of like Buffalo there.
I would take Buffalo with the points. I think that'd be a good one.
Right. I mean, if you're thinking you're getting the same points the Raiders are, but you
And
got a much and you got a better team and you're home instead of on the road.
yeah, I think I would definitely, if I were to put some money down, I would put it on Buffalo with the points to cover the spread.
The Giants, Cowboys. It's in Cowboys. It's like 3, 3.5.
Yeah, 3.5. That one's tough.
Yeah, that's that. If it was 3, you would think that that's how that game might end. I do think the Cowboys are improved.
I would agree. I'm not sold on the defense yet. I think they would need to get settled in. I mean, this is like the third coordinator in the last 4 years or something.
Yeah, but they're going to a 4-3. They got legitimate guys that can pressure the quarterback. Monty Kiffin is really solid stuff.
He is, he is.
And if they can stay healthy, and I'm kind of thinking of Romo. I mean, Elway before Davis won the Super Bowl for him, actually running the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, he was really considered as a guy that couldn't win the big one.
Yeah. And when
And
you.
then, as soon as you win a Super Bowl, whoever's doing it for you, and he won two, I believe.
Yeah, he won too.
Now he's seen as strictly a winner.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, if you look at the history books or the record books, Romo is better statistically as a Cowboy than Aikman and Staubach. He has more wins, more passing yards, more touchdowns. It's,
And more heartbreakers.
well, yeah, much more heartbreakers. Yeah, the one thing that those two have that Romo doesn't have is not only one ring, but multiple rings.
Not only that, but I don't think any of those guys fumbled a snap on a field goal that could have won it in that game.
No. And that really was probably their best chance
Yeah.
to make the Super Bowl.
Because the Giants have they have some injury problems. They got the guy David Wilson running the ball who has fumbled in the past, and at his height, it's questionable what kind of pass blocker he's going to be,
Yeah.
unless you're going to use schemes where you're sending him out for dink and dunks, so you're not using him to pass block. You got the Eagles who really aren't that good defensively. That's a new coach there to spice things up, and the Redskins could falter. I mean, they came out of nowhere from last to first, so nothing's given there.
And just that quickly, you can always go backwards and go from first to last.
Yeah, and the Cowboys could take advantage of that. So, there's things to be said there.
Yeah,
But in
absolutely.
general, what most people think is they pick up this year where they left off last year. And the truth is, rosters changes, coaches change, rules change. But, so the public in general just thinks of strengths and weaknesses that they knew last year.
Yeah.
So the bettors have an advantage the first 4 weeks of the season.
Right.
Then the book catches up, and then it's real tough sledding after that.
Yeah, I can imagine. Just as the season gets on, it's harder and harder to really.
Yeah, well, you have more performance to compare. Right now, we're all speculating.
Yeah, it's all just guesses and what you saw for those previous couple weeks in spring training camp. Okay, Dad.
Okay, son. Bye.
Bye. Meanwhile, on the fantasy football aspect of it, my team, I've gone over already in a previous episode, but this week one, I have a few unknowns, or at least I've been trying to struggle with a couple of pieces this week. I have three running backs, Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis for the Bengals. I have Eddie Lacy with the Green Bay Packers, and I have Monty Ball with the Denver Broncos. I like Monty Ball because that's a big offense, and he's kind of moved up to, if not the first, then the second running back. But it's still too early. He's a rookie. I took a flyer on rookie running backs this year because it's a running league. I mean, so many running backs aside from Adrian Peterson will just break down. I mean, Arian Foster was injured during preseason, so he can't be exactly counted on for all 16 weeks. So rookie running backs for me is the way to go. And Monte Ball, I think, will do well, but it's tough this week. Baltimore, as we talked about, I think is a little more weak defensively. So, but their first game back after the Super Bowl for the Ravens, they're not probably going to want to show too much weakness. So I think they'll play really well. So I'm going with Eddie Lacy and Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. Also, I picked up Darius Haywood Bay for the Colts. I know Bay had a lot of trouble in Oakland, but I think he'll do very well in Indianapolis. He's looking to be the second wide receiver on the depth chart. And I'm considering maybe switching him out for Mike Wallace, but I don't know. I think that in Miami they're going to want to, especially against, you know, the Browns. I think they will do well, and I think Mike Wallace will do well. So I'm going to go with that. You can like us on Facebook at Everyman Sports. You can come visit our site at everymansports.podbean.com. You can find us on iTunes. Just search for Everyman Sports. And you can email me about the upcoming NFL season, any of the matchups that you are looking forward to later in the weeks, and any fantasy questions, or just to let me know about your team. You can email me at everymansports@gmail.com. That's one word, everymansports@gmail.com. Thank you very much, and talk to you later.